welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And it is Feedback Friday. One of the things that I don't think anybody points out, and we probably need to make, I'll just use the word political hay out of the concept that you notice during the summertime there are no mass school shootings. Are kids safer at home than they are at school? If you really care, I mean, sending your kid to school, shouldn't we be actually doing a PR campaign, sending your kid to school? I'm tongue-tied today. Sending your kid to school is tantamount to child abuse. I mean, do you have any guarantees that the pedophile at the front of the classroom isn't going to try to do something outrageous to harm your child, to harm their well-being? You can't tell me what's happening in our education system is for the betterment of society or even for the benefit of your child. Somebody is benefiting from it, and it is not somebody good. It is somebody evil or people that are evil. Anyway, so we do on Fridays a feedback, but for the most part, what we've been doing is we've been covering the election campaign, the election race for 2024, because it is now official. The 2024 campaign is already kicking off, and they're already talking about having debates, and the stumping has begun. And we already have this huge field. And we've kind of covered a lot of those people in the field. And what we'll probably get to today, hopefully before we end, I will cover kind of a summary of everybody we've covered so far. And, you know, as being the host, I guess I get to be a little bit biased and kind of cover this the way I want to. But for the most part, I mean, there's nobody out there. There's not one person out there, except for myself, that is campaigning on the Constitution, telling people that I will support the Constitution. I will not allow violations of the Constitution to occur on my watch. I will do everything I possibly can to shut those things down. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure that I have, you know, all my bases covered regarding, you know, the bureaucracy and everything else. I mean, if there's any purpose whatsoever for the Department of Justice, because clearly there is really no need for the federal government to be using a Department of Justice on any citizen in the United States. I mean, the very few crimes that the federal government has actual constitutional jurisdiction over, we go through this all the time, is only treason, counterfeiting, and crimes committed on the high seas, as well as crimes committed against the laws of nations. And so all these other crimes, I mean, I point out to people all the time, and, you know, it's really hard for them to, you know, get their mind wrapped around this. But when they really do the research, it's actually comical to all of a sudden see their face kind of light up and go, wow, oh, I didn't realize that. When the states ratified the Prohibition Amendment, well, this is the 19th, I think, and then the 21st, it repealed it. But anyway, when they passed the Prohibition Amendment, the federal government, and there was nowhere in that amendment, by the way, nowhere in that amendment did they have the authority to actually enforce this new amendment, this new law, what have you. Okay, so when we look at the Prohibition Amendment, and let me see here, this is the 18th ratification. Yes, so it was the 18th Amendment, not the 19th. After 1 year, this is the 18th Amendment. After 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors within the importation, the importation thereof into or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territory subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited. The Congress shall have the concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. In other words, they can make laws of how they're going to enforce this. Now, the Constitution clearly dictates how Congress or how those laws will go into execution. See, that very specific word, the execution of the law, is very specific because in Article 1, Section 8, it identifies how the laws are to be executed. And it's right there in subsection 15, and it says, Congress shall have the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. So in other words, when they passed this amendment on prohibition to basically ban alcoholic, not beer and wine, but hard liquor, you know, distilled spirits and so forth. And so when that amendment was passed, what Congress did was they created the ATF and the FBI. Now, when we go back to the amendment and we look at the 18th Amendment, right? And then we go, okay, so when was this repealed? And so I believe it was repealed in, what is it, the 20th? No, it wasn't the 20th. It was the 21st. Yes, it was the 21st. It was in 1933. So when we look at the 18th Amendment, which was passed in 1919, it was 14 years that they created this ATF and the FBI. Now, what should have happened, even if they amended it in the Constitution that they could create this force of executing Congress's laws, had they put that language in there, that the execution would be done by a specific force and not by the militia, then, you know, okay, they could create the FBI and the ATF, but when it was repealed, they should have shut it down. So what happened? Therein lies the rub, because every time they create, you know, some vestige or some role, responsibility, or power, it seems like they never go away. So anyway, what we want to do is we kind of want to point out the fact that as we're looking at a presidential campaign, why are we not actually making more noise in demanding, will you support the Constitution? Folks, if they're supporting the Constitution and they live by the Constitution, they will actually be protecting your liberties, if they're actually doing their job. Now, you see, there are people that are outright lie and tell you, I'm absolutely supporting the Constitution, like Pence. Put me on the stage with Pence. Put me on the stage with Biden. Put me on the stage with any of these people. And let's talk about the Constitution. And where do they derive their powers? When we talk about all of these unconstitutional powers, where are they coming from? They're not coming from within the Constitution. They are usurpations, and they're just basically exercising powers that the states have not stopped them from executing. They have created standing armies to enforce these unconstitutional laws. I mean, it's that bad. We really need to start changing our paradigm. And I'm really hopeful, because I believe more and more people are starting to get it. You know, people are starting to realize, and it's actually becoming a dialogue in leadership, especially like in the state of Washington. I already told you that it's actually coming out to say, we don't need more legislation. We need more control of our, you know, of the Constitution. We need to get back into actual compliance to the Constitution. We need more constitutional controls, not governmental controls. And we need to be able to actually ensure that our public servants can be held accountable. As I've been telling folks, right now is the time, folks. Right now is the time to start petitioning every single one of your public servants. Why is this so important? because when you hit them with a petition and then they get back on their heels and they backpedal and then they say, well, you know, that's really not for me. That's for the federal government. Then you prove them otherwise, because clearly the amendment says that the right of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances does not say the federal government. And they say, well, the Bill of Rights was provided for, you know, a protection from the federal government. Absolutely. And the 14th Amendment applied those same protections. So we actually do have a right, and it's an inherent right from the Magna Carta to the glorious Bill of Rights. Even during the Revolutionary time under Continental Congress, they incorporated the right of petitioning government. It is innate within our society, and they have done everything they can to as we've talked about this with Paul Venable. You know, if Satan really wanted to, you know, just completely blind the world and take and seize control, the things he would need to do is he'd need to get you ignorant regarding the weapons within the Constitution, get you ignorant on the Word of God. And when it comes to governing, get you ignorant on the Constitution. Because if he can mislead you regarding the word, and if he can mislead you in how they can govern, he can seize full control. The greatest lie, you know, you've probably heard this before, the greatest lie he can ever tell is that he doesn't exist. Now, one of the things I need to do before I really move forward, because I actually said this on Monday, and I believe that when I do make a mistake, and it doesn't happen very often, but when I do make a mistake, I need to, you know, try or at least three times correct myself. And so for my second correction, Doug Burgum did not get $2 billion in his campaign race. It was $2 million to win his governorship in 2016. So in other words, it wasn't that outrageously high. But bottom line, I would challenge anybody to go look and see who paid the lion's share of, you know, his campaign contributions. In other words, who was buying the representation in North Dakota? You know what? I'm absolutely baffled at, you know, the Republicans, you know, and supposedly the conservatives in North Dakota, how they're not reeling today and going, you know, what the heck's going on with the CBDC bill passing, with what everything that he's been doing, and the fact that here you've got a globalist in North Dakota. I mean, we don't look into these states and actually look at what these guys are doing. And I'll tell you right now, enough people have actually looked at Kristi Noem, and they think, wow, this she's a great governor. She's a great executive. She doesn't know diddly about the Constitution, nor does she care. As a matter of fact, her veto on the CBDC bill actually shocked me and only proved that she was more of a problem than she was a part of a solution at all. I don't care what she says. I care what she does. We have to care what our politicians do. They will lie to us. As a matter of fact, the best lie detector you can have when it comes to a politician is when their mouths are open and they start using political theatrics. I believe that if you really want to find out if somebody's being honest with you, then they actually should be citing and actually talking about, you know, these true authorities that government possesses, the very few and limited powers that they actually possess. Not making it up and saying, well, we can do anything we need to do as long as it's necessary and proper. That's what the Constitution says. I mean, seriously? Anyway, I do want to dive into the campaigns, but there's a few more things I want to get into. One of the things that I keep on asking, and I want you to really think about this, why is it that the parties are limited to a single candidate and a ticket? That does not line up. It does not jive with the Constitution. You have to understand the original design of the Electoral College was to basically facilitate a national campaign that the actual candidate didn't actually exercise, that the candidate would actually work with different people throughout the congressional districts so that they would run the campaigns for them. And so, in other words, if you were interested in becoming a president of the United States, you know, running for it, then these people in the different congressional districts would kind of look at the field and say, hey, this person doesn't, this, there's nobody that's stood up to be the elector for this guy. So I'll, let me reach out and see if I can be his elector. And he'll come back and say, yeah, I've already got somebody, and this is the person, and they're just getting everything started. The campaigns were done by the electors. They didn't have the ability to actually travel the entire nation. I mean, really, look at how fast the nation was growing, and there weren't good roads and highway systems. And guess what, folks? They didn't have airports either. So how was it that these presidential candidates could campaign going into Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, even into Indiana, Illinois, and Missouri in the 1820s? I mean, the railroad was just basically an idea. So what the heck was going on, and why is it that we have today the parties running everything? When we really think about it, the parties have seized control of the entire process. You really think that the party is out for you and it's better for you? Are you looking at how much money they control? And when you control the politics of a nation, a powerful, rich nation like America, you can't tell me that that doesn't yield some type of, you know, euphoric power as, you know, one party base, you know, is enabled because they won an election. You can't tell me that this is not, you know, a corrupt system. When we really look at how the money is entangled and how they work together, how they collude together from the establishments of both parties, they always seem to have the same outcome. Why is that? So I don't believe, and this is one of the reasons why I'm just going through and proving that every single person that is going to be up there, they're all compromised to some degree. Now, I haven't hit Larry Elder yet. And I've told you that I think he has the highest hope out of everybody that's listed up there. You can prove me wrong. You may not like him, but out of everybody that's listed up there, I think that he has the least. But we'll get into that. And as a matter of fact, because I haven't covered Larry Elder yet, and I'm not going to cover him today, by all means, send me emails and send me your links or what have you to info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and just let me know, you know, where Larry Elder is corrupt, because I will put it all out there. And we will, you know, I'll use a little bit of analysis, and I'll try to be as objective as I possibly can. Because bottom line, we can't be happy with the entire field. The entire field is terrible. And it's almost like, wow. Is it set this way so that we take once again the bitter pill and take the lesser of two evils? Come on, folks. Is this America's best? Really, is this what America really wants? Does America really, because we keep on flipping back and forth, we want our vengeance. Vengeance must be served. So, anyway, now, I was talking about this lie detection, right? I mean, you can always tell there's this lie detection when somebody's opening their mouth, they're lying, especially if they're a politician. What's interesting is yesterday, there's a new campaign is being launched by the Biden administration, the unconstitutionally seated Biden administration, because they were seated by an unconstitutional electoral college, an electoral college that did not have the constitutionality and could not actually choose the president. They should have been rejected in accordance with the Constitution. And what should have happened was they should have exercised the 12th Amendment. We have a petition on that. It's our first petition on our petition page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, the thing that they're telling us, and I don't know if you're into anagrams or anything, but it sure jumped out at me when they said Bidenomics. I want you to actually think about it. All you've got to do is change two letters and you have Bidemonics instead of Bidenomics. You see what I'm saying? Denomics, like a demon, or, you know, Biden-omics. Well, so I'm just telling you that that is too close and too easy of an anagram for anybody to make up. And it, to me, when we really look at everything that, you know, is associated to the Democratic Party, the Biden candidacy, the Biden presidency, and everything that they're doing, it is nothing but demonic. I can't say anything good when we're actually watching people torching the Constitution. And what amazes me, folks, and it should, this should be amazing you, that the Constitution is still resilient enough to withstand all of this right now. The one thing that will sow the fate of America, our constitutional republic, and our liberties, the one thing will have nothing to do with the national election, will have nothing to do with any national action. It will have everything to do with the states, the state legislatures allowing the federal government to violate the Constitution and say, we have to suspend this and we have to go down a different path. We have to put the Constitution aside and go down a different path. And if our state legislatures allow that to happen, then it's over. There's, you know, I'll stop broadcasting. I will be able to find something for myself to do to basically prepare for, you know, the glorious days coming ahead, because that just means to me that we're just that close. So anyway, the other thing I need to lend into, because I told you we've got to really start making a focus of this, and that needs to be a regular topic, at least on a weekly basis, so I at least say it on Fridays, maybe sometimes on Mondays too. We as America need, and as Americans, we need to start properly positioning America and our strategies on China and how we're going to deal with the most hostile nation this earth has ever seen. It is positioning itself to become, you know, even worse than the Egyptian Empire. And the type of tyranny that they reign is so godless. I mean, even Egypt, as unchristian as they were not as evil. They were pretty evil. The Roman Empire was pretty evil, but nothing compared to China. And so we really need to start getting our head straight. We really need to start looking at really positioning ourselves. And one of the best ways we can do that is truly becoming the champions of liberty. Because if you want to cause China their biggest problem, let people in China believe and have the hope of liberty. And supporting that hope of liberty. Because how can China defend itself from itself? Because most of the people do not like the life that they're living. As a matter of fact, human beings do not like being caged and being controlled to this level. The only reason that they're doing it, and they're already coming up with resistances, the reason why they're doing it is because they're living to fight another day. That is their mantra today. They're living to fight another day. Let's give the world hope. Let's give the world the opportunity to become a part of this union. Let's give the world a real grasp of true liberty at a global level. I believe that was the intent. I think that was the Lord's design. I think he loves all of us. I truly believe he loves everybody on the earth. And as a matter of fact, you know, when you think about how he loved the framers for them putting aside their differences and coming together on these concepts, of these very simple concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. I mean, when you think about that, how he blessed them, they put aside their religious differences. He didn't bless just one. He didn't just bless the Puritans and made them the dominating factor in America. As a matter of fact, he's allowed the competition to continue and thrive in America with Christianity. Well, with that, we're going into a break, so we'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so it was a few months ago where we told you about FedNow. And so FedNow, this is the news today. FedNow debuts new payments network to speed up U.S. money movement. And it is the FedNow. And they talk about 50 institutions having completed testing to use the system. And so basically, it's going live. And this is almost like a thief in the night. This is happening. And you don't see much news about this. You know, it's all about the distractions, vengeance, and, you know, how these apostates and folks, evil never sleeps. It never sleeps. And it is going to continually, it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever had to watch a snake slowly kill its victim, you know, by, you know, constriction and so forth. I mean, it is just really terrible. I mean, I understand a snake has to live, and that is the nature of how it survives, but it's so inhumane. You know, Mother Nature and, you know, how life survives is not very civil. I mean, if you think about it. And it is just a very slow, gradual process. This is how I see the evil moving forward. It is like a snake slithering and slowly constricting and taking the life out of you and then swallowing you whole. I mean, it's dark. It is very dark. Anyway, let me kind of talk a little bit about the markets, because that's kind of where we've been going ever since March 7th, right? As a matter of fact, on March 7th, gold was 1814. Now, right now, it is 1880, around there, going up and down. But for the most part, it's actually gone up a little bit. So it's trending up. Now, silver is around $24.86. Last week it was $24.99. I mean, it's kind of stabilized itself. So it's gone up a few dollars. You would have thought, and I would have predicted, and I think I did predict, that it was going to shoot up. So I don't understand necessarily, other than the fact that the silver Liberty is so expensive. This should actually upset every American going to the U.S. Mint and having to pay $80 for a silver, 1 ounce silver dollar. 80 bucks when the spot on silver is only 25? Come on. That's a huge, I mean, this was 300% plus. Folks, why is it that we have decided not to hold them accountable? Because we have been indoctrinated that, you know, we have a democracy, that we got to go out there and mob the streets and burn down things. And I mean, look at our response to the election of 2020. It was a rally. It wasn't a First Amendment petition. There was no civil argument as to how the Electoral College was, and the fact is, the dominant complaint was about voter fraud and election fraud, because nobody saw what our public servants did throughout these 31 states where they created an unconstitutional electoral college. Why is it that everybody's ignoring this? That is the supreme law of the land. There's always going to be election fraud and voter fraud, and it's only getting worse, and they're going to keep getting worse. But the presidential election is supposed to be done by the Electoral College, and we're not even following it. And we're allowing our legislature to actually just co-opt it. They did this years ago in giving it to the parties. We need to start demanding the restoration, because I'll tell you what, we restore the Electoral College. You know, in doing that one thing, I think it'll put us back on the road of even making, you know, good, honest elections where we have high election integrity. But we actually have to, you know, we can't just talk about and complain about the overall system when we're not even talking about really the overall process that's supposed to be followed. When we look at the Electoral College and say, you know what, you've got to do it this way, this is what we have to do, this forces that. It gets us away from the party controls. We have to start demanding if the parties want to have primaries, they've got to pay for it. If you want to have an electoral, if you want to have a presidential campaign, you need to have electors represent you in every electoral, or I should say every congressional district. That way, that's how you get your votes. And the people have to actually elect your elector. They don't vote for the candidate, they vote for their elector who is actually campaigning for that. But we're to be, this is how we have an indirect presidential election. It is still by the vote of the people, but it is not a direct vote of a popular vote. And this actually shuts up these people that are talking about a popular vote system. Why are we allowing them to keep on yammering all of these lies? There's nothing, what that organization is talking about has nothing to do with the truth of what the election of the president is supposed to be. They're talking about it's a democracy. They're talking about it should be a popular vote. That's how it is. And that, no. The Constitution demands that we have an electoral college, that we, the people, choose our electors who then will actually vote for the president that they represent or the candidate that they represent. And they're to vote for both two people. They're to vote for the president and the vice president. So anyways, when we really look at, you know, who we're supposed to vote for, we're supposed to be voting for an elector. And you know what? You could really make it very simple, because you could, if you had one elector that actually stood up and said, you know what, we've got real crap here. If you vote for me as the elector, I will make sure that the person that, you know, we select will actually be the closest to the Constitution. And I'll prove how that is, because you can actually disclose by the time prior to the election who that person is. And really actually start focusing on the issues of the Constitution instead of, you know, if you vote for me, I'm going to, you know, I'll give you something. I'll give you free health care. We'll cover your pets. We're going to cover pet health care. Car insurance. We'll give you car insurance. You know, all of that is unconstitutional. They can't do that. And as a matter of fact, in America, it's illegal. It is illegal to pander for votes, to say, I'm going to give you something. And that's what Obama and all of these people have been doing for years. Folks, if we start demanding compliance of the Constitution, we can actually take this nation back. Now, let me dive into the election. I'm just ranting and ranting, because the bottom line is, if we're not holding our government and our public servants accountable to the actual Constitution, then we're the fault. We're the ones that have blood on our hands. It is up to us. That's how the system was designed. We, the people, have to hold them accountable. We have it it's right there in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. Hold them accountable. And we actually make them vulnerable because they have to take an oath, and they're now legally bound to support the Constitution. Don't we connect the dots, folks? The real break is in us. We're not holding them accountable. Now, I was talking about Corey Stapleton last time we were talking, and he kind of has an interesting resume, because a lot of people think that this guy's he's a Republican. No, he's actually not. He is an official rhino because he claims to be a Republican. He was put into place as the Secretary of State under Governor Bullock of Montana, who was a Democrat. And as a matter of fact, when you really look at what Stapleton did in 2020, Stapleton, because I know I covered this, but you need to understand, Stapleton actually implemented the new election software system in 2020 in Montana. And here's the sad thing. Montana has still yet to undo what he has done. They've done nothing about Bullock's changes to the manner of how the people choose their electors to this day. Now, he enlisted in the Navy and was selected as a Naval Academy midshipman and served as a Navy officer from 92 to 97. You know what I have to say about anybody that's an officer in the military? They have to prove. They have to prove that they have credentials with liberty, because these guys are autocrats. Do what I tell you to do because I am in charge. And they're like, the military is the perfect form of communism. And it is a great training ground and a breeding ground for what I would say is the new class of monarchs of America. So we have to be very, very careful. Very careful. That make them prove before you even let them enter into the office, any office whatsoever. I don't care if it's a city council. As a matter of fact, in Georgia, we've actually crossed swords with a Navy officer that claims to be a champion for liberty and absolutely antithetical to that. She's been absolutely antithetical to a champion for liberty and actually is taking the position of a torched earth society when they're not happy with anything they find out. You know, they find out that you've made mistakes in your past. You've just recently made some mistake. Well, at one point when we actually make that turn, even though you may not have any credentials, but you know, it's not like some people are actually putting a resume out there. They're actually just trying to get involved with the right thing. And we have to start recognizing that, you know, we all have to have the opportunity to grow. And at what point is it okay for somebody to actually get on the right path? Well, it's too late for you. Sorry, I won't work with you. Anyway, that's an autocrat. To me, that's a demagogue. He enlisted and he has no credentials of liberty. None whatsoever. I do not see this at all. He prepared and basically resigned his commission and actually started preparing in 2000 for a career in politics. And I cannot emphasize enough that he has zero credentials on liberty. And because he was actually the front man in implementing this, the Dominion and the software in Montana for the counting for, and actually implemented the mail-in ballot process. I mean, the state legislature, I knew people that were just foaming at the mouth of what he was doing and what was going on in Montana. And sadly, they haven't done anything about it since. It's almost like, you know, what do they call that? You know, these fake tears. It's just dramatics. It's about being Karens because they're not actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. We should be expecting more out of that state legislature, especially the way they spoke up in 2020. Why have they not repealed that? To me, that right there is an indictment. All right, so let me just move on to the next one. Frances Suarez. Now, let me just say this. You ever heard the expression, acorns don't fall far from the tree? I'm telling you, there's so much truth to that. You know, there are certain things that are just kind of like genetic behaviors and you know, mannerisms and health, you know, the, you know, baldness. Those types of things are kind of hereditary, or it's just inevitable that you pick that type of stuff up. Now, so there's a lot of unquestioned answers whether he was a naturally born citizen, and because his parents, because I couldn't find anything on him. Now, I've already proven that, let me look at the list again. I've already proven that Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy, those two are not citizens. They shouldn't even be on the stage. You shouldn't even be listening to them because they're not qualified. As Republicans or as actually U.S. citizens, we need to actually say, hey, get down. Sorry. I don't care how good you are. You cannot be on this stage. You cannot be a candidate. And this is where the state secretaries of state really should actually be standing up and saying, you know what? You can't do that. And the federal government cannot say, oh, well, you know, this anchor baby policy makes them legitimate. No, it does not. The 14th Amendment is clear. They can only be a U.S. citizen, a naturally born citizen, if their parents at the time of birth were under the jurisdiction of the United States. If they're under the jurisdiction of another nation because they've migrated here, they have not naturalized, then that child is not a naturally born citizen. Period. This is that hard. So his father, not surprisingly, because you do understand that the concept of union, collectivism, and so forth coming from Cuba, it's cultural. It really is cultural, especially when it's been going on for decades. His father was a Democrat politician and was removed from the Miami mayor's office due to voter/election fraud charges. The real red flag to me is his first job is, and it was, a real estate lawyer in 2004. The voter fraud issue in the family becomes something really interesting. But what's really interesting is their vicinity of where they live. The community where they live is the Miami-Dade County. Now, if there's any county that has some resemblance of corruption in voter election fraud and so forth, folks, what is that? Okay, so Cook County, Illinois, and Miami-Dade County, Florida. There you go. Those are the two most remarked and the most outed counties for having voting problems. And the whole nation has just been infuriated by both of these counties over the past few decades. The third flag is Francis himself received at least $170,000 to push a development project in a Coconut Grove, Florida, for a developer. And he happened to be the second confirmed case in COVID in Miami. And this is kind of interesting, while serving as the mayor. So how is it that he was a confirmed COVID person having it? Now, the second confirmed person, I want you to think about this. Here's the mayor. How did he actually be confirmed as having it? Other than the fact that maybe he wanted to actually start bringing this up as a contrarian to Ron DeSantis and so forth. Can you really trust this guy? I can't. And as a matter of fact, I look at, you know, some of the things that he's done as more of an opportunist to try to highlight, to try to create a different perspective than the current undertones underneath Ron DeSantis as the mayor and functioning supposedly as a Republican. I just have a hard time understanding how a politician becomes the second confirmed case in a city like Miami. Other than the fact that he's kissing everybody because it's an election time and he's literally walking down the parade kissing everybody, and that's how he got it. I don't think that was the case. And I really question whether he actually had it, whether he actually got it. I think he just kind of jumped to say, you know, I'm going to take a little vacation here, but we're going to call it that I've got COVID and everybody's going to cover for me so that we can actually help escalate, you know, this COVID crisis and see if we can get DeSantis to actually, you know, lock down Florida. Because he was in favor of that. So this guy has and has been serving and has directly supported the LGBT pride events and opposes the Florida Parental Rights in Education Act. I mean, this help me out here. This guy is running as a Republican? Come on. I just can't understand how how he can expect to get any. I can understand all the Republicans wink 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 in Miami-Dade County, right? I can expect him to get those votes, but he's not going to get legitimate Republican votes. Not in this nation. He has no credentials whatsoever. Zero credentials on liberty. And has too much stink, as far as I'm concerned, too much political stink as being a part of a culture of corruption and too involved with leftist activities and organizations and has, literally tried to play the contrary political theatrics. I mean, look at what he's been doing. I mean, I'm sorry. The Miami Republican Party, and I've heard this from many people, is really a rhino establishment organization. So his association is in name only, and this guy can't be trusted, period. Why would you even allow him to be on a stage? I can't see this guy actually campaigning as a Republican and gaining traction into, bringing people in to say, I want to hear what this guy has to say. I'm serious. I mean, he may be lying through his teeth and telling you everything you want to hear, but he has no credentials that he's going to deliver on that. None. So let me dive into kind of the overview, because we got about 5 minutes left, a little more than 5 minutes. And then next week, we will dive into Larry Elder and Trump. And we'll kind of cap it off right there. And what I will end up doing is I'll end up posting these things on an election page on Reclaiming the Republic. I'll put that back up and I'll say, okay, here is my assessment. And these are just like simple one-liners, but we've kind of gone through this. When you, when you actually receiving money from big-time globalists and just people that are absolutely evil, that are committing economic warfare against the United States and doing all sorts of things that are repugnant to liberty and the ideals of liberty and individual sovereignty, like Doug Burgum. This guy is a globalist credentialed politician. He has been supported by the globalists. And oh, by the way, there's this organization. I forgot to mention this. But there's an organization out there. It's a PAC. And let me pull it up, because these guys were huge contributors, just like Bill Gates. I mean, he got $200,000 from the RGA, which is the Republican Governors Association, Right Direction PAC. Now, I'm telling you that the Republican Governors Association is a corrupt leftist-leaning PAC. And they're out there trying to get people to think, oh, well, it's Republican governors. Yeah, these are all the rhino Republicans that are trying to make sure that rhinos are put into place into all of these states. Do not donate to this organization. And as a matter of fact, we need to actually start fighting PACs and say all elections local. We'll get into those principles again as we move forward in content once we get through the ratification debates. But I'm here to tell you that when you really look at the money that came in for this man, Burgum, globalist. I mean, Monsanto's contributed to him. And now, somebody's asked me for this spreadsheet. You can actually get their contributions, and all you got to do is spend a few minutes online and go to North Dakota campaign contributions 2016, list the candidate, boom, and it'll spit out who contributed to their campaign. It's not that hard. Do the research. Start doing the research in your own state. Do the research on some of these old former candidates, like Christie. Look at how Christie's tied to leftists as well. Doug or Chris Christie, Doug Burgum, globalist credential, cannot trust. He shouldn't even be on the stage as a Republican. Chris Christie, same. He's a globalist credentialed politician, and he may be running as a Republican, but we can't trust him. Ron DeSantis, the signs of being a globalist credentialed politician, the signs of that. And to me, the real dark cloud is his autocratic mentality that comes from the military. He has some good legislation and some good ideas of fighting things, but he is swatting at the branches. I don't believe Ron DeSantis really cares about striking the root. He wants to strike at the branches of evil to make you think that this guy is fighting for you. The only way you can really tell if somebody's truly fighting for you is if they strike at the root. Remember, Thoreau said, thousands strike at the branches of evil, but only one strikes at the root. And we need to find out who's really striking at the root. And I don't see DeSantis doing that. Now, Nikki Haley, ineligible. She should not even be on the stage. She should not even be in our discussion. When people talk about her, you need to say, hold on here. We need to amend the Constitution to allow foreigners or non-natural born citizens to actually run for presidency. And if they say, well, she was born here, she's not a natural born citizen. Doesn't matter. The anchor baby principle does not apply as a natural born citizen. It is an unconstitutional principle, and she is actually a foreigner. She's never naturalized. She has never naturalized. Her parents were not under the jurisdiction when she was born. She has to be naturalized, and she never did. And so, when they started doing this, this was a while ago, and we're now looking at how far along we've gotten and how many times are we seeing people that have been born in the United States, not naturally born, that are running for president. We saw Obama. Obama was not qualified. He should not have been a president. He should not. He was not eligible. But that's another story. William Hurd, or Will Hurd, obviously, CIA ties, went straight into the CIA after college, and then went into politics. And somehow, after his 10 years in the CIA, got into executive level, defense contracting. I don't know if you've ever heard of the silver spoon, but here's a person that's just seemed to have everything fall into his lap. As far as I'm concerned, we can't trust this man. He's a part of the deep state. He's been from the deep state. And when you look at what he proposes in his ideas, not good. Not good at all. He's not looking at the constitutional perspective. He's actually looking at how we can bypass the constitutional process to do big things. And that, my friends, is at our expense of liberty and at our expense of our Constitution. We can't afford those types of things. Now, we'll summarize the rest of these next Friday, and then we're going to dive into Larry Elder and Donald Trump. Those will be our last. Now, unless there's another candidate that kind of surfaces between now and then, I'll have to do my research on that. But bottom line, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.